Welcome to the Salem Alliance Church Podcast. To learn more about Salem Alliance, including life groups, gathering times, and other resources, visit us online at salemalliance.org. Today's talk is given by Rob Basham.
One of the earliest accounts about Jesus of Nazareth, his life, death, and resurrection, was written by a man named Luke.
We know it as the Gospel of Luke. But Luke continued the story in a second volume,
called the Book of Acts. And it's all about what Jesus continued to do after his resurrection.
Acts begins with the disciples who are hanging out with Jesus, who's just come back to life, which is mind-blowing to imagine.
And then for weeks, the risen Jesus kept teaching them about his upside-down kingdom, the new creation that he launched through his death and resurrection.
This is exciting stuff, and the disciples are ready to go tell the world.
But then Jesus tells them to wait, and to stay in Jerusalem until they receive a new kind of power so they can be faithful witnesses to Jesus and his kingdom. Then he says that their mission is going to begin in Jerusalem, then move out to Judea and Samaria, and then from there out into the nations. It's like a roadmap for the whole book of Acts. Then the disciples saw Jesus enthroned as king of all creation.
So the disciples wait, wondering when this power is going to come. And then comes the time of Pentecost.
So this is an ancient Israelite festival. It's during the early summer, and thousands of Jewish pilgrims would come back to Jerusalem from all over the world, all these different languages and cultures colliding in the city.
And the disciples are together in a house, which is suddenly filled with rushing wind, along with fire. Fire splinters off into tongues of fire hovering over people's heads. What's this all about?
Yeah, so Luke is tapping into a repeated Old Testament theme. When God's presence showed up similarly at Mount Sinai, he made a covenant with Israel and gave them the Ten Commandments. Then later, when God's glory came in a pillar of fire, it filled the tabernacle when he came to live among them.
That was just one pillar of fire, not many.
Exactly. Luke's making an important point here. This is God's personal temple presence, God's spirit that was foretold by Israel's prophets. And now it's come to take up residence in the new temple of Jesus's body, that is, his people. They've become little mobile temples where God now dwells.
And they start to tell stories about Jesus, but they're speaking in languages that they didn't know before, yet all the visitors can understand them. What's this all about?
Well, Peter gets up to explain that this is the fulfillment of Israel's hopes based on the scriptures. God's plan was always to use the unified family of Abraham to bring peace and justice to the world. But the tribes of Israel had been scattered because of the exile. Now, here at Pentecost, representatives from all of the tribes come back together and they're introduced to their Messiah, the crucified and risen Jesus, so they can now become the restored people of Israel.
I love the Bible Project. If you are looking to increase your biblical literacy, there's probably no better place to go than to start watching some of these videos. And here in this incredible video, we are reminded of what we celebrate today. What happened at Pentecost? The Great Commission is given in Acts 1:8, the ascension, Jesus enthroned as king, and then they wait. They wait for the filling of the Holy Spirit, and it comes. It falls, and this is what we celebrate today. His presence has come to take up residency in us. We are the mobile, fire-filled temples of Jesus, empowered to bring his peace and his presence everywhere that we step. We celebrate that. This account found in Acts 2 would have been so astonishing, so unpredictable to the Israelite of the day. This idea that the presence of God, which had dwelled with the picture of fire in the tabernacle and then the temple, will now dwell in the people of God, his church. And they will take that fire everywhere that they go. Today, I want to just look briefly at two things. You see, when the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit empowers us really for two main things. One is holy living, and the second is power for ministry, power to be released and launched into mission. And today, we're going to briefly look at those two things. With the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, everything was changed. Today, I want us to start by actually going to the Old Testament. Holy Spirit empowers us for holy living. And to understand what that means, first, we have to understand what the holiness of God really entails. Here, we're going to enter the throne room presence of God by going to Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. Isaiah 6, 1 to 7. It was in the year of King Uzziah that he died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, and with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they flew. They were calling out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Then I said, "It's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar, with a pair of tongs, and he touched my lips with it and said, "See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven." Here in the throne room of God, once again, we see fire, the purifying fire. We see smoke. We see a burning coal. And here, as in many places in Scripture, fire represents purification. Imagine just this throne room experience. Here we have this humble throne. We cannot even picture what this throne would be like. Here we have an image on the screen of what is just Isaiah being touched with the coal of the seraphim. But imagine this scene with the mighty seraphim flying around, covering their faces because the brightness and the holiness of God is too much to take in. And somehow Isaiah catches a glimpse. He catches a glimpse of the holiness of God. And yet in that, what does he see? He sees his own depravity. He sees his own sin and the sin of his people. The holiness of God sometimes does that. And in that, he thinks he is done. He thinks he's doomed. His life is over now that he has experienced this. And yet there is a grace that comes him. Because the coal is brought to him, and the coal that touches his lips represents this level of purification. He is now marked. He is forgiven. He is purified. He is cleansed. Fire. One of the points of the fire is that it reminds us of the refining fire that we have sung about and invited God to come and do upon us. Church, I think so often we are afraid to talk about sin and the things that displease God, but as believers in Jesus, we are called to a higher level of living. To be set apart, to be holy means to be set apart and separated from sin and from evil, to invite Holy Spirit to come. And here's the thing, we're not left on our own to move towards greater sanctification. We're not left on our own. That is one of the things we celebrate at Pentecost. The fire of Holy Spirit means that we don't have to fight on our own strength. We don't. We get to stop striving. And many of us need to understand this. First Peter says, "Be holy as Christ is holy." And many of us, we take that mantra and we say, we have to behave well and be more like Jesus. We have to purge ourselves and be more like Jesus. We have to try harder and follow the rules better to be more like Jesus. But over and over through Scripture, we see this is not the case. Many of you in this room have probably gone on some sort of detox to try to cleanse your body, to repair your gut or whatever. I know some of you in this room have done cabbage soup and grapefruit for 2 straight weeks. Hope it worked well for you. There's a new movement of breatharianism, which is this concept that you use air. You just take in air and water and some special teas for a week or two, and it detoxes your body. And many of you are rolling your eyes in this room. Just like Jesus does every time we try to conquer sin and shame on our own without his Spirit power that dwells within us. One of the messages that he brings us on Pentecost is you do not have to strive on your own. That striving is simply legalism. It's this idea that if I behave well enough in my own strength, that maybe then I'll have the opportunity to behold God. But Pentecost is a celebration of a new path that is not about our striving. It is not about the law. It is not about legalism. This past week, I saw this ad, and I saw this ad for a podcast, and it said, basically the tagline of it was, "Helping Christians realize how ignorant they are to the power of the flesh." And something in me just like, it bothered me. It just rose up in me like, oh, ignorant Christians because they're ignorant to the power of the flesh. And that's actually scriptural. We'll look at it later. And yet something rose up in it and just the response did not make sense for what was really happening there. And I asked Holy Spirit, what is that? And he said, what really grieves me is the ignorance of Christians to the power of my Holy Spirit to conquer sin in their lives. It's there for the taking. It's there for the taking. In church family, we get to realize this, that it is God who purifies our hearts from all ungodliness, from those practices, those desires, those thoughts, those urges. Since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. In some ways, it's theology 101, and yet we so quickly forget it. In Galatians 5, 24 and 25, there's this reminder. Paul is writing to the church in Galatia, and he says, those who belong to Christ have nailed their passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Our sins have been crucified. They've been covered over with the blood of Jesus. When we begin our faith journey and put our allegiance in him, we become justified, just as though we have never sinned. And what happens is we go legally, as we say at Salem Alliance quite often, we move from the courtroom, this room where a legal, just this is the result. We move from that courtroom and we move to the living room, where we lounge with the King of Kings and we are called his sons and his daughters. You see, when we move into the living room, suddenly it becomes a relational response. We are in the midst of his holiness, and there's this desire within us to be holy the way he is holy. But it is not out of fear. It is not out of obligation. It is out of relationship. And it is worship. And it is beautiful. And we were gifted the Holy Spirit to help us move in that way. The invitation for us today is the same as what Paul wrote to that church in Galatia long ago. Galatians 5, 16 to 18 says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite to what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other so that we're not free to carry out our good intentions. Here's the deal. Holy Spirit is there to help you, to give you fresh and renewed desires that bring worship to God. This is the gift that we see at Pentecost. Do not miss those nudges. Do not stop asking him to replace the desires of the flesh with the desires of the Spirit. Do not stop asking him to come with his power and help you say no to that addiction once and for all. But the invitation for us today is many of us are exhausted because we are striving to live good lives without the help of Holy Spirit. Many of us, I often find myself guilty of this same exact thing. In the power of my mind, I will overcome that continual thought. And I forget to invite Holy Spirit into it. And so this morning, I just want to pause for a minute. And I just want to invite Holy Spirit to come as the one who convicts. And if there is an area of your life where you are striving to overcome something, I want you for just a minute to begin to release that. And then I want to just lead us in a prayer. So Holy Spirit, come, examine us, and show us where we're striving. Show us the things in our lives that are displeasing to you so that we can move in new levels of worship as we are with you in the living room. Come and speak to us. And so, Holy Spirit, we release those things to you this morning. We're sorry that we try to do it on our own. We're sorry that we forget the gift of your Holy Spirit in our lives. And we pray that you would come, that you would restore us, that you would bring forgiveness to those areas, and that we would not forget your power. And so we invite Holy Spirit power to come upon us now, to end addictions, to replace the thought patterns in our mind, to understand with new clarity what brings you glory, what brings you gladness, what that aroma that pleases you is. Holy Spirit, come. We thank you that we are not alone, and we bless your name today. In Jesus' name, amen. If something came to your mind this morning and you just surrendered that and you said, I'm done fighting that on my own, can I just encourage you one more thing? As you leave today, you'll see in the lobby there are these two walls that are covered with black fire and flames. And just as another step of your just reminder that you are now newly reliant on Holy Spirit as you walk through his purifying fire, would you consider writing your name or your initials on that wall and join the many who have already done that this week and this past weekend? Let me transition back to the throne room here. Because what happens after Isaiah experiences the coal and the purifying, refining fire of Jesus is pretty interesting. See, he's called. He receives an invitation. He receives an assignment. In Isaiah 6:8, it says, "Then I heard the Lord asking, 'Whom shall I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us?'" Isaiah, having just been purified, gives the answer, "Here I am, Lord, send me." And what I want us to see is after we walk through that purifying fire, as we continue to journey with God, continuing to walk towards sanctification and new levels of holiness, that is also when we begin to be called out into mission. You see, at Pentecost, we also celebrate Holy Spirit empowers us for mission. We're empowered to carry the ways of the kingdom of God everywhere we go. Last week, I mentioned that we are an Acts 1:8 believing church. Let me put it back up here. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The disciples were told to wait. You cannot minister in kingdom ways until you have been empowered by the Holy Spirit. And on Pentecost, that power fell. It still falls. It's why we're seeking it and asking for it today. This event that happened in Jerusalem was a literal world changer. The diaspora, this dispersed group of people, had gathered together for a festival there in Jerusalem when Holy Spirit falls. And guess what happens? They all take the flaming fire back to their cities of origin, and they bring the peace and the presence of power back to where they had traveled from. The world would never look the same. As one theologian describes Pentecost, he goes, we move from the personal presence of Jesus being with the people, the personal presence with them, to his power being in them. Everything changed on that day. And church family, it's here for us. His empowerment is here for us. I've had the privilege since I graduated college of working for some bosses that empowered me in ways that I don't think I probably should have been empowered at. My first job out of college was I was a school teacher, an inner city school in Boston. I taught 3rd to 8th grade science. And I remember when I signed that contract, I didn't realize all that I was getting into. A couple of weeks into the job, I realized that the troublemaker 8th grade class would be my homeroom class. I didn't know I had a homeroom class, but that would be my group. I would start and end my day with this group, many of whom had been kicked out of numerous public schools in the city of Boston. This was my crew. I also didn't see in the contract that it was my job to take them on their 8th grade class trip to Washington, D.C. Had no idea that would be part of my job, to oversee the fundraising, all the permission slips, organize the travel, and all of these things. And I still remember talking to the director of the school, Dr. Josie Owens, and saying, are you sure you want me, a 22-year-old, to take all of these 8th graders to Washington, D.C.? Do you know who you're talking to? And I remember she said, no, I think you got it. I trust you, and I empower you to carry out this trip. It's going to be awesome. And it was. I only left 2 kids in D.C., and it was like, it was great, and it was a success, and I didn't leave anybody behind, and I actually pulled it off. And I remember feeling so empowered that this big boss trusted me with something that was such a strategic thing for these students that could go wrong in so many different ways. But I felt so stretched. I felt so unworthy of having to carry that out. I did not feel that I was qualified for that. In church family, many of us feel that way with God. And yet he's telling us today, I have delegated authority to you. I have empowered you. I trust you to bring my peace and my presence and my power everywhere you go. This is my plan. Are you with me? And through our shared common lives, he is with us. He delegates to us the ability to pray for healing and see captives set free. He allows us, and through his Holy Spirit, to proclaim Jesus is Lord and lead others into relationship with him. He gives us a concern for the injustices in the world, and he comes along us and he says, I need you to care for the orphan and the refugee and the widow, and he empowers us to do it. His authority has been delegated to us. Do you understand what it says in Romans? The same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead now dwells in us. Are you kidding me? And then later he goes and he says, you'll do greater things than I ever did. That is the invitation that happens on Pentecost, friends. That is what allows us to believe that our grand vision to see a city at peace with God is actually attainable, because we are a church that believes in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Our denomination, our movement, the Alliance, is founded on this concept. I love the quote by our founder, A.B. Simpson. He says this, "The church was never intended to be a natural and intellectual organization." Let me read that again. The church was never intended to be a natural and intellectual organization, but a supernatural instrumentality wholly dependent upon the direct power of God for all her efficiency, and therefore needing to be ever separated from the arm of flesh and the strength of mere human agencies. He summarizes it well. You see, we come to the throne room. We walk into that purification. We ask Holy Spirit to make us holy like he is holy, so that we can be equipped for ministry. As our intimacy with him, as our sanctification grows, so does our authority that has been delegated towards us. And the kingdom of God moves forward. Pentecost is our yearly church calendar reset towards holiness. A look inward, inviting Holy Spirit as the one who convicts to come and search us and purify us and make us more unattractive to the enemy. Pentecost is that yearly church calendar reset that reminds us that we are empowered temples that get to go and be the hands and feet of Jesus everywhere we go. His authority has been delegated to you. Will you join him on this mission? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, come. Fill us with your presence and fill us with your power. Lord, we ask for your continued searching of our hearts as we walk towards holiness. Holy Spirit, come and sanctify us through and through. We invite your refiner's fire into our lives. Allow us to catch glimpses of your holiness even as we return to worship. And Holy Spirit, come and fill us with your power, so that we can bring your presence, your fire everywhere we step as we exit these doors today. We, your church, entering into the chaos of the world, looking to bring glimpses of heaven where we step. Be with us today. Continue to meet us here in Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Salem Alliance podcast. We hope you have been challenged and inspired. Salem Alliance is a community of believers located in downtown Salem, Oregon, and we are passionate about our city being a city at peace with God. To experience other messages and discover more about who we are, please visit salemalliance.org or download the Salem Alliance app. And again, thanks for listening.